express our appreciation for the fact that you've come today. We have a good crowd, and we're interested in the truth here. We want you to know that our commitment is to the truth. Now that the Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And we're committed to speaking as the oracles of God, as Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. And so we invite you to get your Bible, to open your Bible, and to study with us from the pages of God's truth. If you hear something said that you believe to be an error, I hope that you'd have the kindness to bring it to my attention, that I might look into that. And if it be the case I've taught something the Bible does not teach, I'll make proper correction of that and not teach it again. However, if you find that you need to make some change in your life, we hope that you'll have the courage and the conviction to make whatever changes you might need to make, that you might be in a proper relationship with God. This morning in our study, we're asking the question, are we justified by faith only? What we're going to do in our study is, first of all, talk about that word justified, what it means to be justified. And then we're going to give some time considering why it is that we would ask such a question. We'll look at the standard by which we're going to answer this question. In the remainder of our time, we'll talk about what that standard says in regard to the question before us. Are we justified by faith only? What does it mean to be justified? What is justification? The word justified may be defined as to declare or pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. And so justification has to do with the process by which an individual is pronounced or declared to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9, we read where those at Corinth were said to be justified. Beginning in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6, Paul penned, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you." He points out that those to whom he was writing were guilty of these acts of unrighteousness in the past, but now, present tense, ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so these folks were justified. That is, they were declared or pronounced just, righteous, such as they ought to be. Now, why would we ask the question in our study, are we justified by faith only? One reason we would ask that question, because there's so many religious people who have been made to believe and religious groups who would have us to believe that we are justified by faith only. For example, the Standard Manual for Baptist Churches on page 62 affirms justification is solely through faith in Christ. The Constitution of the Presbyterian Church on page 60 says faith is the alone instrument of justification. And according to the discipline of the Methodist Church on page 32, that we are justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. And so the creeds of men would answer this question in the affirmative. Yes, we're justified by faith only. That justification is solely through faith. Faith is the alone instrument. Or that we're justified by faith only is a most wholesome doctrine and very full of comfort. But we're not as interested this morning in how men would answer this question, or how the creeds of men answer this question, as we are with what the Bible says about it. In Psalm 33 and verse 4, the psalmist said, "The word of the Lord is right." If these statements from the Manual for Baptist Churches, the Constitution of the Presbyterian Church, and the Discipline of the Methodist Church be according to the word of the Lord, then they're right, and they cannot be wrong. But if it can be shown that these statements are contrary to the word of the Lord, then they're not right, and they must be wrong. And so one reason we ask this question is because so many are telling us justification is by faith only. Another reason we'd ask this question is because of the importance of being justified. Since justification has to do with the process by or through which unrighteous men are declared righteous in the sight of God, they're viewed as just before God, they are declared such as they ought to be, then it's a pretty important question, isn't it? And it's not a matter of just coming close to what the Bible teaches. We're not talking about throwing hand grenades. We're talking about being such as we ought to be. And if it takes more than faith only, I want to know about that. And if I'd been made to believe that I was declared by God such as I ought to be by faith only, but it takes more than faith only for me to be declared by God such as I ought to be, I want to know about that. So we offer this information and this study for the benefit of those who are truly seeking for the truth, interested in doing what the Bible teaches, interested in being right and just before God. So what does the Bible say, the word of the Lord, in answer to this question, are we justified by faith only? Let me suggest to you, first of all, that the Bible would say, no, we're not justified by faith only, because there are many things which are said to justify. Now, in the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just begin a list of things that the Bible says are included or involved in our justification. We'll start that list with faith. We're justified by faith. Now, the question is not, are we justified by faith? The Bible teaches that, doesn't it? That's not in dispute. There's no denying the fact that we're justified by faith. The Bible affirms as much. We believe that. But the question is, are we justified by faith only? And that word only would suggest without anyone or anything else being included. And so if justification is by faith only, we couldn't add anything to this list, could we? We'd have to end the list right there with faith. But is that where the Bible ends the list? One of the basic rules of Bible study is that when we study a particular subject, we need to read everything the Bible says on that subject. And that's true in regard to being justified. If I'm going to learn what's involved in my being justified, I can't just read this one passage that talks about being justified by faith and assume or conclude that's all that's involved in my being justified. I have to read everything else the Bible says about justification. And when I take the time to do that, I realize that there's more involved in my being justified than faith alone. For example, in Romans chapter 8 and in verse 33, if we'll turn over in Paul's letter to the Romans, he said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that what? It is God that justifieth. And so I realize that God is involved in our being justified, for God justifies. Notice in connection with that, the statement that Paul made in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 8, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And so we're justified by faith, but also God is said to justify. And we can add to our list Jesus Christ. Christ is involved in our justification. When you go back to the pages of the Messianic prophet in Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse 11, it was prophesied concerning Jesus, God's righteous servant, that he would justify. And so we've gone too far in our study already to conclude that we're justified by faith only, haven't we? I mean, if God is said to justify, and it was prophesied that Christ would justify, then it cannot be by faith only, because faith only would exclude and eliminate God and Christ from being involved in our justification. Taking our study a step further, come with me over to Paul's letter to Titus. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 7, it is recorded that being justified, that's what we're talking about, isn't it? Justified by. What are we justified by, Paul? His grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And so we add another thing to our justification, and that is grace. We're justified by grace. Now, if we're justified by faith only, we couldn't say we're justified by grace, could we? We couldn't say we're justified by anything else, because that word only means without anyone or anything else. And so God and Christ are eliminated, and grace would have to be eliminated. But notice in the book of Romans chapter 5 again, we noticed in verse 1, justified by faith. You might just draw your little line from verse 1 down to verse 9. When Paul said, much more then, being now justified by. What are we justified by, Paul? His blood. Whose blood is that? That's the blood of Christ. I suggest to you that the proponents of faith only doctrine just quit reading too soon. If they'd take the time to read the context of Romans 5, they could not come to the conclusion that you're justified by faith only. Because Paul said much more. then, being justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. And then in the book of James, in chapter 2 and verse 24, I find another thing that is said to be involved in our justification. And that's when the apostle or the servant of our Lord said, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." And so we add works to the list. The Bible says that works are involved in our being justified. We're justified by faith, by God, by Christ, by grace, by his blood, and by works. And so there's just one thing wrong with this, and that's the word only. It's just not so. We're justified by faith only, for if that be true, then you have to eliminate God, Christ, grace, his blood, and works from this list, which are all said to justify. And so are we justified by faith only? Absolutely not, for there are many things involved in our justification. Now let's turn our attention to the second chapter of the book of James, where James takes up a discussion of faith and works. And there are several points that can be learned from a reading of James 2, which will be helpful to us in answering our question. Notice beginning in verse 14, he said, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him?" That's kind of a rhetorical question, isn't it? Can faith without works save? To ask that is to answer that. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." And so the answer to our question, are we justified by faith only, is no. No, faith only is no better than saying peace only to those that are destitute. Can you imagine being destitute of daily food? Or not having the clothes that you need, and somebody just say, "Depart in peace, be warmed and filled." What value would that be? How would that benefit you? That's kind of like having faith without works, isn't it? And so faith only is no more profitable than saying peace only to somebody that's destitute. But then notice further in James chapter 2. Notice these words beginning at verse 18. "Yea, a man say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Faith can be seen by the works that it prompts or manifests. Our faith is visible. And so it could be said that here's an individual that has great faith, or here's a person that is of little faith. There are varying degrees of faith: great faith, little faith, strong faith, weak faith. How can a person's faith be seen? How can we have a reputation for being strong in the faith or having a great faith? Because of our works, because of what we do, because of what our faith prompts us to do. And so it'd be impossible for me to show faith apart from works. And so that's the challenge that James offers here. Show me thy faith without thy works. He's challenging the individual who would affirm or assert that you're justified by faith only to show your works or to show your faith apart from your works. You can't do it. It's impossible. He said, "I'll show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" We're being told that faith without works is alive. That's a living faith. No, the Bible teaches that faith without works is dead. It's dead. Now, are we justified by faith only? We'd have to say no, wouldn't we? No. For the devils believe and tremble. Now, if we're justified by faith only, the devils would be saved, wouldn't they? How could you say the devils would not be saved? How could you say that the devils are not declared or pronounced by God righteous, just, and such as they ought to be? If we're justified by faith only, because the devils believe and tremble. But then at verse 21, he says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And so, are we justified by faith only? No. Abraham was not justified by faith only. He was justified by works. When he offered his son, that goes back to Genesis chapter 22, when God tested the patriarch Abraham, called upon him to offer his son, the son that he loved, upon the mount, as a sacrifice to God. And when he did that, it is said that Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That word imputed suggests that it was credited to him. It's kind of like when you make a deposit into your bank account. If you put $100 in your bank account, you're credited $100 to your account. And whenever we put our faith to works in doing what God calls upon us to do, righteousness is credited to our account. That is, God views us as such as we ought to be. He pronounces us righteous as our faith is put to work in obedience. And when was he said to be justified by faith? When he offered his son Isaac upon the altar. And so, no, we're not justified by faith only any more than Abraham was justified by faith only. But then in verse 24 he says, "Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Are we justified by faith only? No, for that would contradict what James said in verse 24. Now, those who would have us believe that we're justified by faith only would make us think that that concept was taught on just about every page in the Bible. And yet, the only time the words faith only appear in our Bible is right here in James 2 and verse 24. And notice what James said about that. He said, justified by faith only? No, that's not what he said. He said, not justified by faith only. And that's a knot that cannot be untied. It needs to remain intact. And so there are those who are coming along and they're taking away from God's word. They're taking out that word not. Not justified by faith only, and suggesting we are justified by faith only. But notice then again in our reading in verse 25, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way." That goes back to the Old Testament and the conquest of Jericho and how that provisions were made for the safety and the salvation of Rahab and her family. And if she would remain in the house and have that scarlet line bound in the window, then she would be saved and her family spared from the destruction of Jericho. Was she justified by faith only? No, the Bible says justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. And this harmonizes with what we read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, the great faith chapter. How that all of those faith heroes were said to have faith because of what they did. And you and I can be of a heroic faith when we put our faith to works in doing what God calls upon us to do, just like they did. Are we justified by faith only? No more than Rahab was justified by faith only. And then look at verse 26. "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." This is a statement that has always captured my attention. It's one of those as and so statements. And there are several of those scattered throughout the Bible where one truth is based upon another truth. As an example of that, over in the book of Hebrews in chapter 9, in verses 27 and 28, the Hebrew writer said, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Well, what's the point he's making there? That the second coming of Christ is just as certain as death itself and as the judgment itself, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. So Christ shall appear the second time. And so you might as well deny the certainty of death, the reality of death, as to think that Christ is not coming again. And here in James 2, he makes another as and so declaration. He said, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." Now, it's a simple truth that it takes the union of body and soul or spirit for there to be life, for the body to live. God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2 and verse 7. The Lord formeth the spirit of man within him. Zechariah 12 verse 1. It's the spirit that animates the body, that gives life to the body. And death is the result when the spirit leaves the body. That's the truth that James is showing us here in chapter 10, verse 26. That when the spirit departs from the body cannot live. The body dies. Remember in Ecclesiastes 12, when Solomon pictured the aging process and then ultimately death itself, he said, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. Well, notice this soul statement. Just as that's true, as it takes the combination of soul or spirit and body for there to be life, so faith without works is dead also. Now we're being told that faith without works is alive. That you can be spiritually alive by faith alone without any works. Well, if that's true, then you're going to have to back up and change that statement in the as part, aren't you? The first part of verse 26. If you can be spiritually alive at the point of faith without works, then you could be physically alive without a spirit. If not, why not? And so what these proponents of faith-only justification really need to do is go out to the cemeteries around here and wake up all of those spiritless bodies and tell them they're not really dead, they're alive. Are we justified by faith only? No. No more than an individual can be alive physically without a spirit. Does that make sense? Have I missed something here? If so, please correct me. And so, are we justified by faith only? Several times we've answered that. No, 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 no. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. We're not justified by faith only because there are many things by which we're justified. And James, throughout the second chapter, answers that several times. No, 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 no. And yet when we read the creeds and the writings of men, they're saying yes, 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 yes. And so what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what man is saying about that, or are we going to believe what the Bible says about that? The word of the Lord is right. So we offer these points in consideration of what the Bible teaches and out of concern for the souls of men and women because we're interested in being justified. We want to be such as we ought to be. We want to be right. We want to be just in the sight of God. And when we go back to that example of the Corinthians, the 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, you remember that some of them were guilty of all kinds of acts of unrighteousness. Paul mentioned specific things such as fornication, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, stealing, covetousness, drinking. And he said, these shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I need to realize that involvement in these kind of things is considered by God unrighteousness. But Paul said, such were some of you. Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified. Well, how are they justified? How are these individuals who are at one time unrighteous? They were unjust. They weren't what they should have been in the sight of God. How are they made righteous? How are they viewed by God such as they ought to be? Let's go back in the book of Acts and read where the gospel first came to Corinth. In Acts chapter 18, we read where Paul made his way into Corinth. And let's pay particular attention to verse 8 when the Bible says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and what? Many of the Corinthians hearing believe. Period? No. Some might like to place a period where the Holy Spirit put a comma. There's a comma there. Hearing, believed, and were what? And were baptized. And so how are these folks justified? How are they declared righteous and pronounced just before God? When they heard, when they believed, and when they were baptized. And so baptism is involved in our being justified. That's a work of faith, isn't it? That's the work that God calls upon us to do. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16 and in verse 16. In 1 Peter 3 and 21, Peter said the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, it's not like taking a physical bath, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And so that's what folks in Bible days did to be washed and sanctified and justified. And that's what you and I must do if we expect to be declared and pronounced by God such as we ought to be. And if you're not what you ought to be this day before God, it's our hope and our prayer that you'll hear, that you'll believe, and that you'll be baptized upon repentance of sins and confession of your faith, as we find demonstrated in the book of Acts. As Peter said in Acts 2 verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And as the man of Ethiopia in Acts 8 verse 37 said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's a pool of water. We have garments. All things are ready. Should you stand in need of being justified, being baptized, all things have been made convenient that you might render obedience to the gospel this very day. Or it may be that you've obeyed the gospel and you're kindly in the same situation as Simon found himself in Acts 8, about whom we studied a few moments ago in our Bible class. How that after he believed and he was baptized, his heart was not right in the sight of God, and he was bound in iniquity. And he could be loosed from that iniquity by repenting of that, turning from that, and praying about it. And so, if there's iniquity in my life as a child of God, I become again bound in that. I need to be set free from that. And I can repent of that and pray to God about that. And as Simon said, pray to the Lord for me. We'd be happy to pray to the Lord with you and for you this very day. And the Bible says in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so if we can assist you in rendering obedience to the gospel, don't hesitate. Come to the front while we stand and sing together.